B-Pod Studios.
And everything, and camp and everything. You know, I'm pumped for the season, man. Football is back.
And he's really... Hey, Nick, what brought you to Buffalo? By the way, you got to be a captain for Buffalo. What brought you to Buffalo? Man.
Because my wife is from Fort Erie, Canada, right across the border here. So she grew up around this area in Buffalo, and I met her when I was in college out here, and she wanted to settle down and start a family back here. So it brought me back here, which brings me to my question real quick before you let me go. I'm real big, you know, from Philly, Eagles fan, 4 for 4 guys the whole night. I have 4 kids that are born and raised out here in Buffalo. Of course I want to raise them to be Eagles fans,
right?
What do I do? Because I'm all about that geography. Like, where you're from is where you're supposed to.
I know.
Yeah. I'm out here. What the hell? What am I supposed to do? I feel for you. What do I do?
And my buddy Sean McDermott's out there with you guys.
I met him at a restaurant. I bumped into him the first year when he came to Buffalo. I saw him at a restaurant with my wife, and I go, I think that's Sean McDermott. And I walked over to him, introduced myself.
He's a great guy. He's such a gentleman.
He was there with his wife. I said, excuse me, Sean. I'm sorry to interrupt you guys. I just wanted to welcome you. I said, I'm an Eagles guy. And I remember from back in the day, I said, I wish you all the best. And he's like, hey, man, thanks for coming up. I appreciate
all right,
that.
Here's what you got to do. I think you got to play the conference thing. I think you got it in here to say, you can root Bills and all. But the Eagles are a team that dates back to your history.
Agreed.
Right? Because really, their history is you.
Absolutely.
Right? Of the kids.
And you're the biggest sports influence on them.
So.
Oh, 100%.
Absolutely. Right. Your poor wife probably doesn't care.
I wear Eagle stuff all the time and everything. I send them to school first day of school.
Right.
They're wearing Eagle screen and everything. So they're going to be wearing it.
So I think you play the conference card. Yeah. I think that's what you do, Nikki.
Yeah, but no Sabres. They stink anyway, but no Sabres. You go Eagles, and then they don't have an NBA team. So you got the Sixers. That's easy, right? They're not a baseball team. Phillies, that's easy. So you're 4 for 4, but in the football mode, they can be splintered. That makes sense. It can be part of the Bills Mafia because all their friends growing up are going to be part of it.
Yeah, but they can skew Eagle.
Yeah.
That's the beauty is that they can be Eagle 1, Bills 2.
Eagle 1, I love it. Let's go to John. Are you listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia, Beasley Media Group Station, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. John in Summerdale's on The Fanatic. Hey, John.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. What's going on, man?
Hey, John.
What up? So the past, it's got to stay alive, man, especially in the Worcesterside area of football where you can't hit anybody anymore. Can you imagine, like, Sheldon Brown's hit today? Like, how many flags they would throw on that play, man, you know? Remember Sheldon Brown, the hit against Richard Bush?
Yeah. Defenseless player.
Afterwards, he had the greatest line ever. It was like going through a cardboard box.
Yeah, like, dude, they definitely would throw a flag. Even if it's a clean hit, though, you know? And that's what pisses me off. And that's why the pass stays alive. You know, that stuff like that right there. You can't touch the quarterback anymore. You know, the Chiefs should have been the Super Bowl last year. You remember that, like, 3rd and 15?
Believe me, I remember.
Tom Brady?
Yeah, I was rooting for the Chiefs.
But anyway, I want to go back into the Eagles, you know, time machine here. September 17th, 2006, against the Giants. Eagles are up 24-7 going to the fourth quarter. They sacked Eli Manning 8 times, right? Somehow the Giants... You know, they come back from a 17-point deficit, right? And Jay Feely has a 50-yard field goal ready to go into OT, right? Personal foul on Trent Cole for kicking some Giants player in the balls. The Giants player tried to help him up, and he kicked him right in the balls. 15-yard penalty. Now it's the 35-yard field goal. Eagles losing overtime. That pissed me off.
Wow.
I remember the game. Yes, I do.
Yeah, Jay Feely.
I remember the personal foul, the kick. On Trent Cole, that's very good. Yep. That's impressive, Johnny.
Yeah, man. Like, so I remember you were talking yesterday, and you were deep diving into all the details about the games and all that. And, your partner there was calling you a loser. But listen, they were all losers for that.
He was calling himself a loser. I was just stunned at his recall of every detail. I mean, you, like, know the pillow you were had your head on the couch next to you. Like, you remember every little element of those games. Like, you could paint the picture. You had a very good recall on, like, the visual aspects of things.
Yeah, I don't know how, like, this is how I write. Like, I write what I see in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
So it's like you're almost like seeing a movie in your mind's eye, and you're kind of capturing what you see.
Which is why you go and sit outside Lincoln Financial Field and just look at the stadium.
I do. I love it. Puts me in like in a place.
Danny in Connecticut's on the Fanatic. Hey, Danny.
Hey, guys. What's going on, man?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, listen, man. On the heels of the segment with the Sixers, man, I'm so pumped up. And I was going to call for different reasons, but really want to talk this NBA idea that I have. And it's on the heels of the segment of the Sixers and also the baseball announcing that they're going to play at the Field of Dreams field.
Yeah, what do you got?
And I know you know people in the league. I've been sitting on this idea for a couple years, and I even drove down to Manhattan from Connecticut to try and get into the NBA offices to try and get in front of somebody, and I just couldn't get past the gatekeeper. But so here's my idea, and I think that this would be just an absolute home run. Can you imagine, just like that announcement came out today about the Field of Dreams game, how cool that is. Could you imagine if the NBA announced, Adam Silver goes, the NBA is proud to announce that on May 23rd, the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, 2020, the New York Knicks will play host to the Philadelphia 76ers in the inaugural Playground Classic at legendary Rucker Park.
Yeah, I love the concept. I mean, the concept is a brilliant concept. I will tell you that they have kicked that around because it's funny you bring that up. There was a big deal that in Chicago, like they were talking about doing the same thing, and the same thing in L.A. on the you remember White Man Can't Jump or all the games right on Venice Beach and all. They're trying to do the same type of thing. The only problem they're trying to figure out, and I don't know where it got. Was how they were going to kind of erect a semi or like a arena around it, like a stands and all that stuff, and then what you would do weather wise.
Yeah, no, I think the weather could be worked around.
But you know, the problem with Rucker Park is when you play Rucker Park, you're not going to do like May's when the playoffs start, right? The only way that would work, and I love the concept, Dan, I really do, and is if. The NBA, what it really needs to do is extended season. Start its season on Christmas Day, play through the summer, end in August, and you could then play springtime and do some outdoor stuff.
Yeah, no, but the reason why I say it would work and why you wouldn't have to erect these big, cumbersome stands, this would be a made-for-TV event. It would forget about getting 5,000 people in a makeshift. This would be a made-for-TV event, and it would eclipse every Winter Classic. Because if you think about it, the NHL, what they did was they wanted to get back to where kids started playing. They were playing on a pond.
Yep.
This Field of Dreams thing is a field in the middle of a cornfield. They can't play on a Little League field.
This is
where did the NBA learn to play? Not on an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
On the blacktop, on a playground. Dude, I think
NBA players aren't going to play on the blacktop.
I love it, Danny. I do. I think it would be awesome.
Yeah. They would put if they did something like that, they would put a cool hardwood in. They're not going to let them play on blacktop.
No. It would be all. Listen, I would love to see it. Aesthetically, I mean, it would be outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, they're one of the great documentaries that I love. The legend, the Dr. J documentary, was one of the fun documentaries out there. And if you remember the legend, they had footage of when Doc played at Rucker Park, and you had people all over the trees, like they were climbing the trees.
Yeah, light poles just as watching.
You know, it was awesome. I think, you know, the beauty of the NBA is, the beauty of basketball is that it's really community heavy, right? Like, so, you know, oh my God, like these like little gyms and you know where they captured it? It's so funny. But do you remember, it was like a little scene In the Nick Nolte college movie.
Blue Chips.
Remember, I love that movie, right?
Yep.
So they went to like Louisiana.
Yeah.
And
Shaq all over the place. Yeah.
Where it was, what was his name? Badeau. It was funny. So, and then like have on this, like in this church, this little church kind of gym, you know, and then they had with the kid from Indiana. Like the beauty of that sport is how it's consumed and how it's out there in different regions of the country, like Rucker Park or by the beach in LA.
Yeah.
You know, all these different spots.
Or the cornfields of Indiana.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Chicago is like the same, kind of like New York a little bit, you know, type of thing.
And the one kid's family gets a tractor and the other kid's family gets a Mercedes.
Like Philly, like that's where we had we had great guard play. Like the Philadelphia guard was always tough. And like you went to the basket because so many of these great players played growing up without any nets.
Mm-hmm.
Like now it's changed a little bit because AAU and all that stuff. But these kids that came from Philadelphia, you either play, you had no nets. These playgrounds didn't have nets, or when they did, they last 3 days and they would get stolen. Or the chain nets.
Yeah.
Like I used to love the chain.
Yeah.
Like when you switched it, you're pure. The net makes that sound. The chain net would make that ching sound, and it was awesome.
Yeah, the chain net. Your finger caught in the chain net.
No, it was no.
You'd be leaving your finger there.
Yes.
Six. I never had to worry about that. 610-632-0975.
It's fine. I get excited talking about that kind of thing.
Jeff McClain is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, and it's game day. First preseason game tonight. We'll see if we can get some verification on who's going to see some time tonight, who's not. I haven't seen official verification on many of these players just yet. But we'll find out from Jeff McClain all that as we set the stage for the preseason to begin tonight. Tennessee Titans.
I can't wait for the Jeff. Let's kind of examine what we're going to see.
Yep.
Kind of and balance it because I hear some things. And I don't want people to be disappointed.
Yeah. He's going to join us actually at 12:20, so he'll join us in 9 minutes from now. So stay tuned. McClain coming up, and I'll get back to the phones quickly as well. 610-632-0975. It's the Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. Let's also not forget another first-place team playing right now. And it's not the baseball team, that's for sure. This is a team on the pitch. That's it. Man, you know what? The Philadelphia Union, what a team. Sometimes we get caught, we're all 4-for-4, the whole thing, but really 4-for-4 is a euphemism for all home team, and that's where the fifth team really needs to take, we need to pay attention to. The Philadelphia Union right now been in first place, I mean, since June, and this group, you'll love this group, great young kids, they're beasts, man, young and they're fast, they score, that talent energy stadium rocks, that goes nuts. Man, it's time, Philadelphia. You're here. 5-for-5. Let's go, Union. They're playing Houston at home Sunday at 6 o'clock. Make sure you get all of your Philadelphia Union soccer news at PhiladelphiaUnion.com.
Gargano and Mertitis Middays.
All right. We await Jeff McClain because there is a game tonight.
Game
now,
day.
I heard a lot of people wondering, like, all right, well, you know, who's going to play and what to expect. I know the bro was worried about not seeing Miles Sanders tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not going to see Miles. I would be shocked if you saw Miles Sanders. There's no, you know, there's certain, for the first game, you don't need to play anybody the first game.
No, you let the guys that are camp bodies take the brunt of
the
guys work.
That need work. The guys that need work. Like guys that, mm-hmm. you know, listen, Sudfeld needs to work. Yep. Like, he needs to go out there and play.
Yeah. What do you think? We'll see him a half tonight?
Not a whole half. I think you see him a quarter and change.
Okay. And then we get to see the depth at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Lack thereof.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it look, this game's in a lot of ways a tough watch, but it's just a celebration. Just to
yeah, you're not
it.
Watching. Yeah. You're not watching other than just to let it wash over you. It's almost like
exactly
you let it it watches you.
Yeah, and of course, Doug. They had mic'd up at practice yesterday, Andrew. In preparation for
I don't
training?
Know. I don't know when it was. I don't think it was yesterday. But the Eagles just posted a video of basically their own little Hard Knocks of just Doug Peterson being mic'd up at practice and handling the practice. But he gave his. Obviously, the speech at the end of practice, and I thought it was nice. If you guys want to hear it,
all right, let's take a listen.
Yes.
Doug addressing the team at the end of practice.
Hey, good job today. Second day in a row, come out here was a little bit hotter. All right, there's a couple things as a coach that I want to see. One, the intensity. I want to see who's going to stay plugged in or who's going to go the other way. This makes you mentally tough right here. Okay, this makes you mentally tough. That's a great job coming out here and attacking the day. Right, attacking it. No worries about what the weather's like. Yeah, it's hot. Who cares? Great job today. Great job. Good intensity.
Gosh, it went great.
There you go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Can't do anything about the weather.
Very cool.
610-632-0975. We're efforting to get Jeff McLean on the line, so we'll get him as soon as we can. Let's get back to the phones. Go to Chris in Allentown on the Fanatic. Hey, Chris. Chrissy. Chris.
Hello.
Hey, yes, buddy. Hello. You're on the air, man.
Oh, hey. Hello. Hey, how's it going, guys? I listen to you guys all the time.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm a veteran, and I'm leaving soon for deployment, and my team absolutely stinks. I'm a Redskins fan. But everything else, I'm Philly sports. So my question I have for you guys is our offensive tackle, our big boy, he doesn't want to play for us anymore down in D.C., Trent Williams. But I heard a lot of rumors that he might be going to either Dallas or Philly. How true do you think these rumors are?
Yeah, I would listen. I love Trent Williams. I love him. But I mean, I'd be shocked. Why would the Redskins trade him in division?
Well, he's saying he's not going to play as long as that medical staff's there, right?
The whole medical staff. So I don't think he's going to come back. I don't blame him. I mean, do you remember RG3 a couple years ago? And
but that's right. But the problem is, though, Chris, I don't think you can. I don't know. You know, he's still Redskins property.
Yeah. He's going to make it an untenable situation, though.
Okay, but there's other teams outside the division.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to trade him to the Eagles or the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Let's ask Jeff McLean if he heard it.
Send him to Mars.
Because he does a great job. Inquire.com. Jeff, what do you say, brother?
What's up, fellas?
Were you hear anything about Trent Williams? Caller just wants to know.
Trent Williams to the Eagles?
No, I mean, I said no, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Nothing. Zilch. No.
Yeah. I same thing. Anyway. Let's go over tonight and what you expect and who you expect to play. So, can you shed any light on any of the starters?
Now, I wish I could give a little more on the quarterback situation. You know, Doug hasn't didn't put that out there on Tuesday, and then I guess he's on the radio. He didn't put it out there on Wednesday. So, I'm kind of flipping back and forth on whether he's going to do it or not, judging by, you know, the words that he said, kind of parsing them. Yeah, my guess would be no. And if he does play, it'll just be for one series. The risk of not putting him out there, well, obviously there's a risk of putting him out there, but not putting him out there is if you're going to play the first team offense, I don't know if you want to put Nate out there with them, because again, you're trying to develop chemistry, with that unit, and having Carson not play while the other guys play, I don't know if that makes any sense. Look at the offense. Do you really need to see Jason Peters out there? Do you need to see Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson?
No.
Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey.
No.
Jordan, now you don't really need to see any of those guys.
No.
So is it really worth it?
No.
For one game?
It's not. It's not worth it. Nope.
It's not. So, again, I'm leaning towards we're not going to see those guys. We'll see Nate Sudfeld and pretty much, you know, maybe a few guys that play on the first team, but mostly the second teamers. And the defensive side of the ball, you have so many injuries anyway, guys that aren't going to play. It's going to be pretty much the second unit defense anyway.
Hey, Jeff, the offensive line, first of all, has Jason Peters been practicing like the full allotment? Also, Brandon Brooks, what's his status as we get ready getting, you know, to the preseason part of the offseason?
Yeah, Peters is healthy. He's been doing everything that he's allowed to do. He's still taking, you know, those veteran, a few veteran days off and veteran reps off, or he'll just jump out. I mean, the same has gone for pretty much Jason Kelce. And Lane Johnson's been getting reps off here and there as well. So nothing new there. And then as far as Brandon Brooks, he's been doing pretty much everything the same that he's been doing off camp, which is just as far as individual drills go. No 7-on-7s, no team drills. And I'm not sure we're going to see him participate in any team drills, at least as far as access goes over the next week. And then obviously things shut down. So it's going to be hard for him to make start the season.
So that's Vitae then, right? Vitae filling that void right now?
Yep, okay. Vitae. So he'll be out there. We'll get, you know, obviously right now a starter, technically, but he'll be out there. They need to get him some game reps at guard.
Do you see Miles Sanders playing at all today?
Yep. I mean, he's healthy. You know, he had the little foot scare last week, but he was right back in there the next day and haven't seen, you know, anything really significant to hold him back. When he first came back from training camp, because he had the hamstring injury that held him out all the spring, Eagles were kind of easing him in, but he's pretty much practiced full since then, and I don't see any harm in letting him get out there and getting some reps, some game reps under his belt.
It's funny because I wouldn't play him tonight. I would limit him as much as possible.
Well, I mean, let's see what he does, and then maybe you shut him down.
Gotcha.
As the preseason goes on.
Hey, Jeff, other than the Wentz-Deshaun combination as a storyline in camp, it seems like the storyline that I keep reading, seeing from you guys and everybody that covers the team the most is about Miles Sanders. Has he been that impressive to your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, he looks very good. I don't want to get ahead of myself here because, again, with running backs, it's difficult to assess them when, you know, times are running around in their shells and then when there isn't live tackling. And he really hasn't done a heck of a lot of live tackling drills. That being said, it's very, very clear that this kid has all the physical skills to excel at this level, and perhaps at a very high level. He's the most explosive running back on the team, and he's probably the most explosive I've seen here since LeSean McCoy. So he has that. He has all that. Now, there's stuff he has to work on clearly, receiving, blocking, understanding the offense. But in terms of natural ability, and when you just see him out there, he's chiseled like a running back. You know, he was born to be a running back. So he's got, the size is an issue. The athletic ability isn't an issue. He works hard. He's got the right attitude. Right now, it's really hard to see any knocks against him besides not having enough experience.
So as we begin the games portion of the preseason, give me some of the battles that are up for grabs that you could see that we might see during weeks 2 and 3.
Yeah, I think the number one has to be cornerback.
Yeah.
You know, Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby still out, and I don't really even know if those guys could be handed those positions the way that Sidney Jones has been performing. And I guess you could throw Rasul Douglas into that pot as well. I don't know if they would all of a sudden they would just be handed their old jobs back. That being said, it's very unlikely that Mills will be back by the start of the season, and I don't know if Darby will as well, coming off the ACL. So you're looking at Sidney Jones and Rasul probably going to be penciled into those spots on the outside. There was some question about whether Ivante Maddox would be more the outside guy versus Sidney Jones, but I really think Sidney is clearly taking control out there. He's an outside corner. I mean, they put him in the slot. He did fine there last year before the injury started to creep up, and that obviously those were obviously nagging throughout the season. But let's remember what Sidney was before all the injuries. I mean, he was probably a bona fide first-round cornerback, a true cover corner on your outside, speed corner that can lock down guys that have that kind of ability to move. And I think so far we've seen him perform very well. Look, I understand when he gets out there on game days in September, it's going to be a different story. It's a tough position to play. You're going to fail often as much as you succeed. But I think Sidney certainly has the skill set. As long as he can stay healthy, I think that that'll be his spot.
Did you talk to Arcega Whiteside about him, about Sidney Jones?
I did not. Someone threw it out there. I mean, Arcega Whiteside, someone who kind of looked pretty good this spring, hasn't really done much this summer, and probably because Sidney's been shutting him down.
I'm curious because the two have a history in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And I'd be curious to hear about that.
Yeah. No, I haven't really talked to him. They did go up against each other maybe one year. I don't know how, because again, you got to recall, I mean, Sidney's been out of college for, this will be his third season in the NFL. So. Yeah.
Hey, Jeff McClain joining us, inquireinquire.com on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jeff, one of the areas of concern for a lot of Eagle fans is the defensive end position. Derek Barnett coming into year three had that injury that he dealt with last year, missing a lot of time. They bring back Brandon Graham. You alluded to the injuries on the defensive side of the ball that they're dealing with. What have you seen out of Derek Barnett? What have you seen out of the defensive ends?
I don't think I've seen enough out of Derek Barnett because he's not practicing. And it's been 10 months since he had the surgery to correct the torn rotator cuff. So I'm not really wondering. I get it. Look, they're trying to get a lot of these guys who are injured to week one. They don't want to have any setbacks. Let's get in there. But as you mentioned, there's a lot riding on Derek Barnett this season, with Michael Bennett being traded and Chris Long retiring. he showed a lot. I thought early on last season that he was going to be, you know, the first round pick that they thought they had drafted in terms of talent wise. But again, he hasn't done it over an extended period of time, and he's going to be going up against those left tackles week in and week out. That's a grind. And the one thing that Derek has kind of had an issue with is gaining strength. But don't have to worry about his athleticism. It's getting the power to go up against those big guys on a consistent basis and to wear them down and to also develop that second move, which really needs to be a bull rush. So a lot riding on Derek Barnett. I think he can be that guy. I don't know how high his ceiling is. I don't know if he's going to be an elite edge rusher, but he's certainly a guy I think that can get 10 sacks at some point in his career.
Wow. No, I mean, they need him. I mean, you got to get
this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, and with the, what they got in the middle, I mean, those ends should be able to eat.
They should get one-on-ones.
Yeah.
That's what they're hoping for, because really, you know, Brandon Graham, I don't really get to worry about him, and I think he'll be better than he was last year because he was hurt for most of last year. But you look at the guys coming off the bench, I mean, Vinnie Curry really is much of an edge rusher. He's a good defensive lineman, particularly against the run, but he's not like your fireball coming off the bench like Chris Long was. And while I think Josh Sweat is at a nice camp, we still don't know. He's got to go out there against top guys, I think, before he can really assess what he's going to be. And you have the Joe Austin injury. I don't think Joe was going to come in and play a lot of snaps, but that hurts you in terms of your depth. Now, what do you do with Sharif Miller? I thought he was a perfect candidate to end up on IR, kind of rest, you know, give him a year to bulk up. But now with, you know, with Joe Austin hurt, you wonder about the depth of that position. And you wonder, you know, if one of those guys go down, who's going to step in? So defensive end to me is certainly, as you mentioned, a position of question coming into the season.
I got one Carson question. I'm talking to Jeff McClain on the Comcast business hotline. So, you know, you follow, you see all this stuff. You've been in every practice. You've seen every throw. How would you look at, as a whole, how would you look at his camp?
I think he's had a very good camp. You know, there's been days where he just looked better than I've ever seen him during a practice. Certainly, there have been a couple practices where he wasn't on his A game, but, you know, at worst, a B minus. And, you know, you're okay with that. That happens to the best of them.
Right.
You're not going to always go out there and have your fastball. So, I think we've seen what we, I think Eagles have seen what they want out of Carson. He's done everything. He hasn't had any setbacks in terms of his injury. They're not lightening his load. The only lightening of a load that we may see will come in the preseason. And to me, I don't think he really has much to prove in that regard. We saw him get hurt in his rookie year in the preseason. Give him maybe a quarter in week two, preseason week two, maybe a half in preseason week three, maybe even less than that, really. Just give him, you know, a few drives, maybe a touchdown drive under his belt, and then I think you'll feel good about where Carson is heading into the season.
Is there any concern over interceptions and where the ball is? And, you know, depending on who you, some of your brethren might have different views.
Oh, really? I don't know. I haven't heard that.
Like, I trust you, and I always, you know, I've made no secret, but there's...
I mean, he threw an interception was it the last practice? But, I mean, that happens. Quarterbacks throw interceptions.
Right.
He's thrown far more touchdowns. No, there hasn't really been anything I feel like, any alarms about Carson taking a step back in terms of his ability. I don't see that. I think what we're going to see is a little more of 2017 Carson. A different quarterback. I mean that in terms of his level of play.
Right.
I think we're going to see certainly a different quarterback. We're not going to see those Houdini-type escapes on long third downs. You know, I think we're going to see more of a conservative Carson, shall we say. Now, you don't want to take that ability away from him, and I think there certainly will be an element of that this season. But I think we're going to see a more well-rounded quarterback and one that's maturing here in season four for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Jeff, that's the thing. He talked about his coming in a little bit lighter this year. I saw him in a press conference last week, and he looked significantly lighter to me, leaner. Is there any concern about his durability being lighter?
I think he's always looked kind of lean anyway. A lot of quarterbacks, when you meet them, you see them on TV, the pads, and you than you see them without the pads up close. The long, lean guys, they're built that way. That's the way Matt Ryan's built. That's the way Tom Brady has increasingly been built. Manning, yeah. Like, you're really kind of surprised. They're just a very fit 6 foot five, whatever it is, 6'4", 6'6", body type. And I think that's what Carson was, and I think that he's a little more of that. Look, I don't think there's anything wrong with him and his diet, you know, cutting out pizza. I mean, I think that can only be a benefit, you know? And I think that, you know, if anything, he's probably a little more rock solid than he used to be. Take those hits, you know?
So tonight, what's the one thing that you go, in a game that doesn't matter almost on every level, what's the one little tiny aspect that you'll glean something from? Or you're looking to glean something from?
Yeah, I'm hoping the cornerback play. Again, I hate to go back to that again.
Yeah, that's all right.
I want to see Sidney Jones and Russell Douglas out there, because they're probably going to be your starting outside cornerbacks in week one. Yeah, I want to see how they do. Look, the Titans have some pretty good receivers. So let's see, you know, quarterback's pretty good. Let's see how they do. Again, I don't know if they're going to play Mariota or not, first team offense for the Titans. But let's see how they do. See if they can carry over what they've done in practice into the games. Because as we know, it's a very important position.
Well, we'll be watching tonight. People will be going down to the game tonight. We'll be reading you, Jeff, man. Thanks for doing this.
All right, guys. Games, we finally have something to write about.
Yeah. We're not talking about practice.
Thanks,
Jeff.
Thanks, brother.
We got a game tonight. It's not practice. It's a practice game, but it's a game nonetheless against an opponent that's not their teammates. So it will be interesting. That cornerback battle will be one of the ones that I'll be keeping an eye on as well. And we'll see how much we see out of a guy like Miles Sanders. And I meant to ask him about Sproles and how Sproles is low. You're not going to see him, but I just want to get kind of some impressions.
It's interesting because Jeff says you're going to see him. Mm-hmm. Timmy McManus says no. I would argue no. I don't need to see the kid. Like, I want to make sure the kid is ready to go.
Yeah. Well, he's been a dynamic story so far through the practice.
It seems
portion.
Like there's some, I don't want to say propensity for injury, but, you know, these running backs are sometimes he's like, I just assume, you know, let him be.
Yeah, and we'd like to put a lot of eggs in the Miles Sanders basket, too. So he could be very meaningful for this team. That combination of him and Jordan Howard in the backfield, along with Clement and Sproles, who we just mentioned. 610-632-0975. That's the number. Got a couple open lines with Jeff now all in the rear view. So if you want to jump in, you can. And we've got Bring the Heat at the top of the hour. It's the midday show on the Fanatic.
Let's talk a little Baxter. So the question is, and we had this earlier, and we'll continue this during the rest of the program, is since the Birds won in 17, does anything before that matter, or does it all go in the Baxter? I mean, remember, I mean, we're talking, you know, you're over 50 years without a Super Bowl. So does all those memories, are they Baxter worthy? Now, not gay Baxter. That's a separate Baxter. But the past, are we just at a point where only the present matters? We'll discuss it. But the Baxter, man, it handles every cleanup, including the cleanup of the past or the present, as in the Gabe. It's a 3-cubic-yard dumpster in a bag sold at Home Depot and Lowe's and local improvement stores everywhere for just $29.99. It's tremendous. It can handle any job. The beauty is, it's on demand. So whether you clean out the garage, the attic, you're remodeling, you're doing something to your home, Baxter bag, you buy it, fill it, schedule your collection, and poof, it's gone. Go to thebaxter.com. Find the store nearest you for more details. Anthony Gargano told you to clean it up with the Baxter dumpster in the back.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
We got a game.
Need some music?
Yeah.
Let me give you a little something here, all right? Let's go with a little, babe.
Google me.
Gets you pumped up, doesn't it?
It does.
It's the 70s soundtrack to your Sunday coming up.
Yeah.
And you go from that 1 o'clock game, week one, Ant.
Yeah, it's the best.
And you're going to go, okay, who's got the 4 o'clock? Dancing Romo. Be all pumped up. Full slate of football. You want the countdown clock?
Yeah, get some.
Oh, because they are ticking away. All right. First and foremost, Florida, Miami. 16 days, 6 hours. College football coming up the day we kick off the day of Fan Fest. The NFL season kicks off 4 weeks from today on Thursday night. And then the Eagles game, week one, 31 days, 8 minutes and 40 seconds from now.
Wow.
Get all pumped up about it.
Can't wait, man.
Yeah, it's awesome. And the first preseason game tonight, Eagles-Titans at Lincoln Financial Field. Next week, they'll be down in Jacksonville. We'll get a look-see at Nick Foles as a Jaguar. And then week three, usually the preseason game where you see the most of the starters, and presumably we'll see the most Carson Wentz in that game. That will be here.
Do you need to see anything really of like preseason? Like, are you?
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, here's where we're at. Like, we're obviously we're starved for like a game that has any kind of merit. But you need to see anything.
Need and want are two different things. I'd like to see something, but I'm guarded with it because, again, like you said, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. How you perform in the preseason isn't often a harbinger of how you're going to perform in the regular season. But there are some players that you can glean some stuff from. Like Jeff brought up the cornerbacks. That's one. If we don't see good, pressure in the quarterback from the defensive end position, does that mean they won't do it in the regular season? Well, when you couple that with the concern going in, it doesn't do anything to give you confidence going in. I don't know. Does Howie eventually pick up the phone and call a guy like Chris Long if he's coming in a spot role for this team? Does he try and swing a deal? You know, deals get made this time of year. You see who shakes free from other teams.
Well, nowadays, it's interesting because the scope of young general managers like Howie have changed the way the league does business. And deadline, you are trades. There never was trades at deadline. Now there are.
Yeah, they picked up Jay Ajayi from Miami at the deadline.
Golden Tate.
Yeah, you're right. Another
Tate,
one.
Tate. Yeah. We're like all Golden Tate, and the next thing you know, Tate wasn't Tate.
Yeah, well, he was not much at all for this team, and he ends up with the Giants. Good luck. And he's suspended. Did they get over? I know he was challenging it because he was trying to. He was taking some medications to try and have a kid. And apparently he found out there were some PEDs, and he notified the league right away and stuff. But I don't know if there's any leniency to be had there. I don't know if it's a hard and fast thing. It seems like it is. Like, so they've said it before. You're responsible for what you put into your body and for whatever reason. So.
Yeah, listen, you're in your 30s. Come on, dude. You got to know better.
Yeah, come on. Look at the ingredients before you ingest.
I mean, the first thing you say is, if this was what you were about, and you know, you're about trying to have a kid, you go, hey, listen, hey, league, I'm trying to have a kid. I'm going to take this substance. Does that work for you?
Yeah. Send it to them in advance of taking it.
If that's your, that's why you took it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
I'm dubious.
He's probably going, geez, I'm going to be on the Giants already. That's bad enough. I got to deal with this team. And now I got suspended and I'm going to miss a bunch of game checks.
Yeah.
Sign this deal and I'm going to be giving my money away right back. 610-632-0975. Bring the heat coming up in 5, Ant. Let's get back to the phones. Some open lines if you want to grab them. It's loosened up a bit here. A couple of guests on the program have allowed you that opportunity. So let's get down to D.C. and talk to Daniel on the Fanatic. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Going on, Dan?
Nothing much. Hey, man. Yeah, I'm hype about the season coming up. I think we can go deep in the playoffs. But I just had my comment, though, is about the McNabb hate that a lot of fans have. And the one issue I have, man, is if you look at that, like say 2001, that first the season of 2001, that first NFC Championship we made, we played the Rams on the road. If you look at that starting lineup, that offense has no business being one game away from the Super Bowl. We were there because of Jim Johnson's defense and the plays McNabb could make with his feet and his arm. We had Thrash and Pinkston and receivers and all this other stuff. Those three NFC championships we lost in a row, and I was at the one we lost to Tampa the last game of the day. he put that team on, he put that offense on his back, man. And, you know, I just think he needs to be commended for that. That's all. You say what you got to say.
Yeah, I'm not interested in fighting about McNabb. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm done with that. I'm done. I you know, you feel a certain way, man. That's cool. I don't put it, like, I don't, listen, did he have good enough receivers? No, he didn't. He had an exceptional offensive line, and he had some good backs, but he didn't have the weapons, and he made some amazing plays. I agree with the last caller. Amazing plays. But as far as, like, lauding the Hall of Fame and greatness, that's where we part company. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think he was great. I think he could have been even better than he was. I think he was a very, very talented, terrific player. He didn't have the clutch gene. And that's kind of that was his only downfall.
Yeah, I wish the guy was still there. I'd like to ask him, like, why that's on his front.
I'll be honest with you.
I don't get
that. I'm just not in the mood.
Yeah.
Like you want to talk about the past? I got no interest in talking about it. It's one of the reasons why I started the show today by telling you guys, like, does the past even matter? Like, yeah, listen, I love Brian Dawkins, and I love Reggie White, and I love Randall, all that other stuff. Whatever. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I mean, truthfully, it all ends. It all ends. It's the same way. Listen, I think the Sixers are going to be, like, current. Like, it's all about the current. Look, I love AI, and I love the fact AI's coming to FanFest. It's awesome. But they didn't win that year.
Nope.
They win this year. Sixers will be about now.
Well, they're built in a way that's sustainable, too.
Right.
The AI thing was a blip. It's like, that's like the 93 Listen, Phillies.
It's like that, you know, that whole era. I mean, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But McNabb, Lindros, AI didn't yield anything. No parades.
It was the era of false messiah.
You say what you want about, you know,
like great players, yeah.
Like way, way back, the previous wave, you got Doc gave you a parade.
Yep. Schmitty right? gave you a parade.
Schmitty gave you a parade. You know, Flyers got it a couple before that.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
But when you look at it, too, not that McNabb's on the same level as either Iverson or Lindros was, but they were all kind of false messiahs. They were all taken at the top of their drafts.
And listen, they were great in their own right.
Like,
they
were
exciting and incredible in their own right. But, you know, I mean, that's why the passes, all it is one big mess that goes in the bags there. There's been some great moments and some fun moments, but ultimately, there was no winning.
Yeah. Let's go to James in Exton. Joins us on the Fanatic. Hey, James.
Hey, boys. Anthony and Jason, good to talk to you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.